I'm Anthony, and I left MAGA.
Hey, everybody. Rich coming to you here at leavingmaga.org with the Midas Touch Network. We got a brand new testimonial video for you today of a gentleman who left MAGA. I want to bring him in here. It's Mr. Anthony Brooks from the great state of Texas. It's been back-to-back now. We've had two Texans back-to-back, Anthony. I really appreciate you being here with us. Thank you for reaching out and wanting to tell your story. Let's just get right into this. Tell us and walk us through what was appealing to you about the MAGA community and the movement. And if you would, address something that you said to me when you wrote out to me, which was how, as a man of faith originally, that was what made you gravitate to the MAGA community.
Well, initially, like most other Christians, we were very hesitant about Donald Trump, mostly because of his past. It was like we had to hold our nose to vote for him in 2016. But when we saw him govern conservatively and govern according to the values that we held up at that time, realizing that, you know, he was appointing pro-life judges and that he was all about fiscal conservatism and fiscal responsibility, we saw that as appealing to us. It wasn't something that we knew right off the bat, because I don't think anyone really knew how Donald Trump was going to govern his first go around. But eventually, like most others, I was eventually attracted to that, and I became full fledged rah-rah Trump and his policies. So that's initially what was appealing to me about Donald Trump. But it wasn't when I went to the polls. It was actually quite a bit later, after the 2016 election, that I actually realized that he was governing according to those values that at the time I thought were the most important.
You know, I share a similar experience with you in that I was not immediately enamored with the Trump campaign when he first decided to run. I was very curious. But I had a little bit different. The reason my entree into MAGA was not anything regarding my religion or my faith. It was that I felt like we needed someone to obliterate the established political order, and we needed an outsider to do that job. And I felt like Trump was the right person at the time for that job, someone who'd be a disruptor. We got a disruptor, just someone, as you and I came to painfully realize, is someone whose disruption is antithetical and anathema to democracy. But as someone, you know, as someone who, as you'd mentioned to me when you reached out to me, as a man of faith, what was it like for you watching Trump when you started to have a little bit of doubt about your support for him? What were some of the specific moments that maybe eventually led you to leave? And in the moment, and take us through in a real time as best you can, what you were thinking as you're observing this.
Well, initially during his first term, his immigration policies were very, very strict. Immigration policies, a lot of people like that. I was always more hesitant about his immigration policies, namely because, you know, Jesus, you know, tells us to welcome the foreigner. And the immigrants, Leviticus tells us that we are to treat them as if they were one of our own, because we were once strangers in the land of Egypt, talking about our spiritual forefathers. That always seemed antithetical to me, to my faith. But also, I ran in very conservative, reformed, Calvinistic, and theonomic circles, basically that we should govern our country according to the general equity, what we call the general equity, or the moral principles of the Old Testament Levitical law. And I noticed very clearly that we were not being consistent with that, realizing that, number one, our treatment of immigrants, number two, our fiscal policies, his fiscal policies were very much not in line with those. With those Levitical laws, and that there were certain language, certain catcalling across the aisle to certain aspects of the far right that I didn't appreciate. And then eventually, as time went on, they were starting to say the quiet part out loud. You know, I started seeing more and more of the Trump supporting people in those circles being more anti-Semitic, being more openly racist, being more being more un-Christ-like towards other people. And of course, the two laws that we're supposed to hold very near and dear, that Jesus is asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourselves. And I was seeing a whole lot less of the love your neighbor as yourself in the MAGA movement. And that is when the doubt started to creep in. It happened very slowly, as you can imagine. But when it happened, it started to speed up rather rapidly.
Well, that reminds me of what I always say when I'm describing my own epiphany, is that for me, it happened gradually and then suddenly all at once.
Yeah.
You know, and to paraphrase Ernest Hemingway, and when you're saying about, you know, I'm hearkening back as I'm listening to you about conversations I had when I was in the MAGA community about who were real Christians and real Jews and who the real Americans were. And anyone who wasn't with us, they were the fake, unpatriotic, whether it was fake Americans, fake Jews, fake Christians, fake fill in the blank, anyone who was not with us, we considered them that way.
Yeah.
Did you experience that as well in some of the conversations that you had about how there were essentially two camps? You were either with us in MAGA, you were the real Americans, or anyone mm-hmm. else, they were the fake ones, they were against us no matter what.
Oh, and I'm currently going through some of that actually. My wife and I, we actually ended up leaving our evangelical conservative Presbyterian church for these reasons. And it's not that the church was that way, because I would still very much recommend that particular congregation and that denomination to anyone because of just how nice and kind and gentle they were. But there were certain people within the church that were not that way. And then we joined the Anglican church, and that has been much more eye-opening experience about our what true Christianity looks like. And, you know, for instance, our diocese just sent out a memo this morning talking about what we should do as Christians to respond to the current immigration policy changes in the country. And it's all about embracing the immigrant, helping them, supporting them. And that's the kind of Christ-likeness that we should see in our community. But I've definitely experienced a lot of "you're trolling," right? Kind of things to some of my comments online, or people saying, you know, this is unChristian, or you have left the faith altogether. People condemning me for that. And I'm trying to, you know, communicate. No, I think what I did is became more consistent with the Bible and my opposition to Trump and his policies, because they're not Christian anymore. I, if they were ever Christian at all, now that I look back on it, but it's rather sad to see that people that I've known for years upon years upon years in those communities saying that my opposition to these radical and racist immigration policies or to the current Musk takeover as being anti-Christian, I don't see how those things, my opposition to those things, are anti-Christian. I just can't fathom, with my knowledge of the Bible and my knowledge of our faith and the historic Christian faith, how that has all of a sudden become anti-Christian. It just confuses me.
You know, I can really feel and see in your story that there is this struggle between your past support and your faith. My wife hates this joke. I always say that I'm an excommunicated Catholic, that, you know, that if I'd lived in the 14th century, I'd have been excommunicated by the church. You see I left MAGA hat right there, side note. So I wouldn't say for me that my faith shaped a lot of my MAGA belief and my support. But it's very clear that you're struggling. You're struggling that you had struggled through that, and yet you were able to come out on the other side of it. We actually did a testimonial with a lady named Stefania Messina, who was an evangelical woman, and she went through and endured and underwent a very similar faith struggle. What I'm curious, and you know, you're talking about leaving, right? Leaving the church. So not only did you leave MAGA, but then you've got another community that you had been familiar with and had camaraderie with and you know, in literal sense, congregated with them.
Yeah.
Pinpoint for us, Anthony, what was the moment that you recall when you said, finally, I am out, I am leaving MAGA, this is it?
Yeah, and this is a little bit of an extended thought, so I'm sorry, but I feel like if I don't say all of it, then I shouldn't really say any of it.
Well, please do.
I noticed during the 2020 election, I had already started to produce some doubts during that time. But after the 2020 election, when he had lost and the buildup, and I saw these Christian communities come out and say that that the election was stolen, that a lot of not really that many people in the church that we were in, but in other churches and other groups I was affiliated with, talking about how the election was stolen and all of this. And then all of a sudden, January 6th happens. And then I see Christians, you know, defending the actions of the insurrectionist on January 6th and trying to defend Donald Trump's actions or inaction to that situation. And at that point, that's when the House of Cards started to crumble for me. And then, of course, you know, I was in opposition to that through that. And then this last round go around, when I saw Christians start to call out in support of his mass deportations. And I have some personal feelings about that, because my family is directly affected by those things. And then people were saying that Donald Trump is where Christ is. Well, no, Christ isn't with Donald Trump. When I think of where Christ is, I see Christ in the immigrant family coming here to make themselves a better life. I see Christ in the church doing work to support relief agencies around the world and to support the unhoused and the broken and the orphan and the widow. I see Christ in the Eucharist every Sunday when our priest states the epiclesis. I see Christ in those places. I don't see Christ in Donald Trump wanting to deport millions of people out of our country for the great crime of wanting to be here and make a better life for themselves. I don't see Christ in that. And so anyone who says that Christ is there and not in these other areas, I can't support that. And it's very hard for me to see Christ there. So it was a long road, but if essentially to summarize, January 6th happened, and that's when I lost all faith in Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. And then in 2024, that's when I started to become really, really just angry about the whole situation. So sorry, it's a long thought, but that's where I was at.
It's okay. No, I appreciate you saying it, because January 6th was one of the reasons for me as well. And it comes up a lot in these testimonials that we do with those who left.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask you to speak for anyone on this. And I'm not coming at this question with who's a real or fake Christian, but there is a part of me that just, when I look at evangelicals supporting Trump, there's a part of me that just, I can't turn off the voice that says that evangelicals deep down know that they should not be supporting Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a similar sentiment about that when you see it? Does the, how do you respond to the hypocrisy, given that you are a man of faith and as someone who very clearly, you know, I minored in theology, and it, I feel like you're taking me back to some of my coursework and so much of what you're saying. How do you work through that, seeing this hypocrisy amongst people who identify as noble, benevolent soldiers and warriors of Christ?
So I have to make a distinction between the average person sitting in the pews who don't know better, who haven't really been informed, who are uninformed on these issues, who might think that all Trump is doing is just getting all the criminals, even though that's clearly not the case by the stories that we're hearing. Now, a vast majority of the people who are being deported right now are not criminals. I have proof for that, but I have, unfortunately, it's not a practical place here to share that. But I have to make a distinction between those people who don't know any better and the people who are informed yet still throw their support at him. And then people who are well-educated in the evangelical world and think that he is still the best option for the evangelical world. So I have to make those distinctions, and those distinctions are very difficult for me to make because it is a very emotional topic. In my mind, the evangelical church as a whole and its leaders as a whole, there's an article on Mere Orthodoxy that describes the six fragmentations of the evangelical world. And you have the type ones, type twos, type threes, et cetera. And the type ones are your neo-fundamentalists. These are your Christian nationalists, Trump-supporting evangelicals, who are saying that he is the best thing that God has ever sent to this country. Then your type twos are the people who held their nose when they voted for him, right? So the type twos, I would say, I want them to be more educated so that they can move into like where I'm at, which is type three and type four, which are the people who are very concerned about the evangelical world and their support for Trump, and the people who see the evangelical world as selling itself out to the Republican Party as a whole, because that's where I'm at. And I think that the more educated I became, the more it led me in that direction. So I am concerned very much by the evangelical embracing of Trump, which is why I'm no longer an evangelical. But that doesn't mean that my faith in and of itself is not evangelical. I think that it is. It's just that I can no longer associate with the evangelical church for the very reason that either they are educated and ignore that education, or they are not educated and are still selling out to the Republican Party just because they don't want to be educated on those issues. I hope that made sense, but yeah.
No, I was around many who had the sent by God belief. It was not a belief that I shared, but I always just not in agreement, because in the MAGA community, there are real pressures to conform.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to maybe not, I was never offended by the idea, but it wasn't one that I agreed with. I was always focused more on just conquering and crushing our enemies before they, our political enemies, before they conquered and crushed us.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. So let me ask this in closing, as we come to near the close here. So why speak up from your perspective? Why is it that you wanted to share this story and tell others?
Because I think that a lot of people who are supportive of his policies and what he wants to do, and right now his complete takeover by the Elon Musk Doge regime. I think that people support that because they're not affected by it yet. I know many, many immigrants who are here without proper documentation, and they are some of the nicest, kindest, hardest working people. They pay their taxes. They own property. They do what they're supposed to do. The only thing that makes them any different than us is that they weren't born here and they don't have papers. And I think that many people will have bought into the lie that they are criminals. They are not Mexico or Nicaragua or Guatemala's best. That they are coming here to steal jobs, this, that, and the other thing, which they're not. Actually, a vast majority of them are doing jobs that we wouldn't want to do for the pay that they're being offered for. And they're completely fine doing those jobs. Of course, you know, I want to be consistent. I do want them to be paid more. And that is something that I actively advocate for. But all of that being said, they're a tremendous support on our economy, not a burden on it. So that's number one. Number two is I see current trends in the MAGA movement, like the whole empathy is a sin trend and all of that as being extremely toxic and degrading to the morality of this country. It is sending us back to a time where we were having to fight things like for civil rights and for women's suffrage. It's sending us back to that time. It's sending our country back in time instead of forward and progressing. And I think that that is extremely damaging to our country's morale. I think it's extremely damaging to our country's moral character. And the rest of the world is looking at us like, what is going on? We used to lead the world. Now the world is being alienated from us. And that is very damaging to our country. So I think speaking out is important. And I think educating people is important and doing it with gentleness and reverence like we're supposed to. Because as a Christian, I think that yelling into the ether, you know, is not very successful, but having conversations is. And so my goal in my personal life with the people around me is I want people to be educated. And if they are, and if they make a choice that I don't like, then at least I can say I did what I could. Because that's all I really can do.
Well, you're doing it now. And, you know, I just want to say, as the excommunicated Catholic, what I have seen over the last many, many years within the MAGA community, even though I do believe that it's mostly good people who are in the community who have been led astray and their fears have been exploited and manipulated. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the spiritual aspect of it, it does not look like my Catholic upbringing at all. And so, nope. and it didn't, even when I was in MAGA, but again, I just, like a lot of other statements and observations, I looked the other way. Anthony, I just want to thank you again for coming on here. It shows a lot of intrepidity to tell your story. You had to go against a lot of what you've known best. Mm-hmm. And I just want to, you know, and there are pressures to not go against, in your case, your faith and going through the questioning of that. And I really admire the fact that you have kept your faith through all of this. And I want to welcome you to our Leaving MAGA community. I want to welcome you also to the Midas Touch Network community. And we always like to close our Leaving MAGA videos the same. I'm Rich, and I left MAGA. Hey guys, if you like this video, make sure you subscribe and drop a comment down below. Also, feel free to visit us at leavingmaga.org. Get in touch with us there. You can follow us at our socials. Get signed up for our newsletter. Really appreciate you guys watching. Thank you so much for your support.
Can't get enough Midas? Check out the Midas Plus Substack for ad-free articles, reports, podcasts, daily recaps from Ron Filipkowski, and more. Sign up for free now at MidasPlus.com.